some anxiety because of their alleged impropriety.
Damn it, Maverick.
And when they beat up Indy in the AFC title game,
I'm not worried.
Rumors of them cheating, and that's a bloody shame. Deflating balls, deflating balls.
Dozens of balls.
Wow!
I had no explanation for what happened.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really did at that point, but the fact is, and the song is just a little bit off, they didn't really, you know, beat the Colts.
Yeah, they did.
With deflated balls, it was in the second half where they did their most damage with the balls redone.
But they were already winning going into halftime. Well, and they used deflated balls in the first half.
There's a guy
by the name
of Andrew Luck, though, on the other side of the field. I mean, there's one more half to play, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. So Ted Wells, we've been talking about this all afternoon. It was interesting as I'm doing research for the show, trying to find things to put together for the show. All of a sudden, this Ted Wells audio pops up.
Okay. Wow.
Where he is furious.
How do people get a hold of this kind of audio?
Well, he had I believe it was a conference call with a bunch of media today because he wants to shoot back at all these people trying to shoot holes in his story. But Ted Wells is a very reputable lawyer.
He is.
Who has been hired by the NFL for several different things. And so that's one of the accusations by Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee, who says this is an inside job. He's in cahoots with Roger Goodell. They were after Tom Brady, which makes no sense.
Baloney.
No sense.
But I do wish, you know, it hasn't hurt. Let me take that back. It hasn't helped the Wells report for him to come back with with nothing more concrete than he came back with. Yeah. That the people are shooting holes through that because it's so sketchy, so iffy still.
I wish they were more black and white with the fact that that when he says in some of this really excessive language that he used, nothing swear words, but pretty aggressive, but said in the Wells report, and I think he did, but just he used legal terms and saying the reason why we're going to do this and do that or whatever, even though he didn't hand down the punishment. The NFL did. But then the NFL should have said this. The reason why we're going to punish the Patriots $1 million, take draft picks away, and we're holding Tom Brady accountable, this four-game suspension, is because this, this, and this. And Ted Wells goes into it and provides such a backstory that none of us have ever really heard yet about this whole Deflategate situation. You want to hear it? It's a two-part. They're about a couple minutes long, so hang with us. But
this will be fun. We'll comment on this. You're invited also to comment if you'd like to, along with me and Mr. Holston, after Mr. Wells, of course, describes it. 651-989-9105 is the number to call. Let's hear it.
Those conclusions were not influenced in any way, shape, or form by anyone at the league office. We made a fair and reasonable review of the evidence, and we reached conclusions based on the preponderance of the evidence standard, which I was required to apply based on the league's rules. To the extent Mr. Yee is suggesting that I have some type of conflict because I and my law firm do other work for the NFL, I want to be clear that it is well known that I work for the NFL in the Miami Dolphins investigation involving Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, and also that my law firm is involved in representing the NFL in the concussion cases. Those facts were all publicly known at the time I was appointed. When I was appointed to be the independent investigator, no one at the Patriots or in Mr. Brady's camp raised any issue about my independence or my integrity to judge the evidence impartially and fairly. In fact, Mr. Kraft, to my recollection, publicly said he was in operation. That came from the Patriots to me, and I responded to it. I investigated that issue. The Patriots asked me to investigate that issue, and I did not find that there was a sting. What the facts showed was just the opposite. When the Colts made the complaint, no one at the league office took the complaint seriously. They flipped the complaint by email to the operations people so they knew about it, They told the refs, Walt Anderson thought it was just a normal complaint. You get these types of things all the time. Nobody paid that much attention to it. There was no sting operation, and I addressed it because the Patriots urged me to look at that issue, and I did. Now, I want to say this. There's a policy question one can ask whether you tell another team about a complaint or not. That's not a sting operation. That's a discretionary policy issue, and that doesn't have anything to do with my report. But there was no sting, and that issue was addressed because the Patriots raised it.
So, I mean, his agent has any smidgen of a doubt.
That Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee.
If he has any problem with the way this investigation was conducted, he explained it very point blank right there. Even the Patriots asked that he look into certain aspects and certain angles that he could further investigate it and make sure and to cross-check things and so on. He explained the entire protocol right there. And Don Yee, take that.
But that's not even the best aggressive part. But I thought that it was interesting, the point that he made by basically saying that NFL teams come up with complaints and they go to the league office and a lot of them just fall to the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Indianapolis Colts had to be on it. And it probably would have fallen by the wayside yet again. But it was in the AFC Championship game, and the Indianapolis Colts were not going to have anything to do with it. I mean, they were going to say, wait a second here. We talked about this in October.
Right.
We brought it to the league office. Why didn't the league office deal with it then? And that's a whole other thing. This didn't have to be this huge blown-up story. The NFL could have dealt with it behind closed doors and said, okay, here's the deal, Patriots. This game against the Indianapolis Colts, there's a complaint. We measured the balls, and the balls are below PSI. We need you to have them between 12 and 14. That's the rule. Preferably 13. Let's not let this happen again. Instead, the NFL league office ignored it.
And then it made it all the way to the AFC Championship game.
It became this huge deal.
And the Colts had already had an issue with it from before. I guess the only question remaining for me is it was too low. The PSI was too low. Who was it for? Was it for Tom Brady, or was it collectively as a staff, we'll do it so that the receivers can catch the ball softer with a softer catch? Was it Brady or for the receivers? Can Tom Brady throw any football? Second half, he did.
Of course he threw anything. It was his preference.
He could throw anything, but I wonder.
And in that game in October, wasn't that in Indianapolis?
I have no idea.
I can't remember. If it's in Indianapolis and they're doing they deflate the footballs because it's cold and slippery, rainy, whatever the deal is, why do it indoors if you're playing in Indianapolis? Anyway, the second clip gets far more aggressive. This is where he goes after the obstruction of Tom Brady. He gets in detail about what Tom Brady did, what he refused to do, talking about McNally and Yastrzemski, the two employees from the Patriots, and then obstruction from the Patriots organization itself. So hang tight. Here's Ted Wells on Deflategate.
Jim McNally was the second Patriots person I interviewed. I wanted, after I had interviewed others, including Tom Brady, to do a second interview of McNally to put certain questions to him. And I had also discovered, after the first interview, one of the most important text messages where Jim McNally not only calls himself the deflator, but says he has not gone to ESPN ... yet, which is akin, as far as I am concerned, to saying I have not gone to the media yet to report what I'm doing. And I had not found that text at the time of the first interview. I wanted to confront him with that. I asked for a second interview. I said I would go to New Hampshire. I would interview him in the morning, afternoon, night. I didn't care. I would make myself available whenever he was free. And not only did they say I couldn't interview him, they said they would not even tell him about my request for an interview. So on that particular point, which was critical to this investigation, they did not cooperate, and the report sets that out.
Now, you said this was the second interview. The Patriots have said that would have been the fifth interview with McNally. Can you clear that up, please?
I am happy to respond to that. Before I was appointed, NFL security people talked to McNally on three occasions. They talked to him on the night of the game for approximately 40 minutes. They talked to him the next morning for about
by telephone
for about 20 minutes. They talked to him in person, I believe, the next day for about 30 minutes. Those are the three interviews. The Patriots urged me when I got into the case to start fresh, not to pay any attention to what NFL security had done. In fact, they thought the people at NFL security were biased. They applauded when I said I'm starting fresh. And for them later on to say I could not even have a second interview of the most important person in the case was just
a lack of cooperation.
A lack of cooperation.
Well, what about Tom Brady's lack of cooperation?
Anything else, Ben?
I'm sorry.
Did you view Tom Brady as not cooperating fully?
Mr. Brady, the report sets forth, he came to the interview, he answered every question I put to him. He did not refuse to answer any questions in terms of the back and forth between Mr. Brady and my team. He was totally cooperative. At the same time, he refused to permit us to review electronic data from his telephone or other instruments. Most of the key evidence in this case, as in most cases, come from people's cell phones, and he refused to let us review the phones. And I want to be crystal clear. I told Mr. Brady and his agents I was willing not to take possession of the phone. I said, I don't want to see any private information. I said, you keep the phone. You, the agent, Mr. Yee, you can look at the phone. You give me documents that are responsive to this investigation, and I will take your word that you have given me what's responsive. And they still refused.
So what else is supposed to happen at that point? Cooperation. Okay, he answered a certain number of questions, answered all of them. Tom Brady, that mm-hmm. is. He also said, and this is the part that would have you know, sank the ship, you don't get the phone. I'll answer questions because why? Because when you answer questions and you've already lied, you can answer the question again and just lie again.
Of course.
Because it doesn't matter. You've already said what you've said. You're going to stand by that. But if you give him the phone.
But he didn't even ask for the phone.
Then you know what I'm saying. The information on the phone, for them to be responsive with the responsible documentation that they were looking for, they were not going to provide that. With that being said, case over.
Why not, if you're Don Yee in the Tom Brady organization, when Ted Wells goes, okay, you guys look through your own phone and give us any pertinent information, you give him information and then you leave out anything that has anything to do with Deflategate?
Well, I mean, they know from the other guys' phones what they found. Now, they only need to have correspondence that matches up on those dates and those times and everything else in between. Please just provide us with these two dates and these phone calls. Anything that has anything to do with these two gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
We'd like that.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, no.
Phones are absolutely on fire. We got to run through these because we're going to get to Jim Rich here in a little bit. But John from Minneapolis, you have a take on Ted Wells and the Brady stuff. Thanks for calling. You're on 105 The Ticket.
Hi, guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, the whole media has gone crazy over this, and it's about air in a football. And
isn't that amazing? It's amazing.
It's freaking crazy. So at what point do we all, especially the haters, I'm speaking to the haters out there, at what point do we have a congressional investigation? No, I'm serious. I mean, I think it's time for a congressional investigation. Put the death penalty on the table because it could be a death penalty offense.
Yep.
I think Tom Brady may be a Muslim and associated with the Taliban. So this is the road we're on. I just thought I'd throw that out there as sarcasm.
I'm glad. Brilliant. I'm glad someone has a sense of humor in this. The way I take it, too, from day one, I've thought, okay, who cares? Let them put enough air in the ball or take a little more air out of the football. As long as the receivers like it, then we're all good. You just put your best quarterback out there with his favorite footballs, and the other guy gets to do it on the other side. It's all equal.
Yeah.
Just who cares?
Stupid.
It's another stupid rule that you put in there that says you have to have a certain amount of air in a football, PSI. It's gotten ridiculous to hear Wells go on. I mean, he's irate. It sounds like the Watergate hearings.
Well,
I mean, and I watched those when I was a kid.
The guilty parties are attacking him for not being fair, they're attacking him for being biased, or attacking him for a witch hunt, which I don't think any of those ever happened in the Ted Wells situation here.
No, I mean but that's all true. But when you think about it, when you keep it in perspective. And if you were just someone who came in from another country and heard this, you'd think, wow, what's going on here? I mean, there's a big investigation going on. Yeah, it's about the errors in the football for the AFC Championship game. That's what the problem is.
But it's been going on for years.
Of course it has been.
And then he lied and conspired and covered it up and all this crap.
The NFL is a monster. It's all about money. It's an incredible money-making machine.
With zero leadership, and that's the whole problem why this is all happening and boiling over.
And it's boiled over because the top quarterback with the top team right before the top game, cheated.
Yeah, with the dynasty. Dan from Apple Valley, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, you know, I think that the whole part of this, the reason people are getting so excited about this is the lack of responsibility. It's always the cover up. It's always the conspiracy that makes the original crime worse. You know, the second that this broke, if they would have came out and said, hey, look, yeah, we did it. Everyone else does it. We're not going to do it again. We're sorry. It's never going to happen again.
Perfect.
This would have been a dead issue.
Perfect.
Yeah. I agree.
And
I totally agree with you.
The second, I'm a police officer, the second people do things to cover things up, it makes it so much worse because now you're getting other people involved. Now you're talking about accessories before the fact, after the fact, all this other legal mumbo jumbo. You're getting all these lawyers involved. All because somebody didn't just come out and say, hey, yep, we did it. Everyone else does it in the league. It'll never happen again.
I totally agree with that. And I just think if you just come out and say, look, we thought we could get by with a little less in them. We're sorry about it. Blah, blah, blah. We'll put more in the balls next week. Or even at halftime, when they did put more in the footballs, it didn't make a lick of difference. That's the craziest part of it.
It probably helped Tom Brady to inflate the balls to what they were supposed to be PSI-wise because he had an unbelievable second half in the AFC Championship game.
And, of course, the one football that he did throw, errantly, was one in the first half. Yeah. They got picked off, and that's where this whole thing began. It landed in the hands of somebody who said, wow, there's an awful lot of...
Because they were looking for it. The Indianapolis Colts were looking for it. Because it happened before in October.
Sure.
They were looking for it.
Well, I want to thank all the callers.
More callers. I apologize that we can't get to them all. We have to get to Jim Rich, otherwise he's going to have a dance in his pants.
We'll keep going with it, though, during Mike's break, perhaps. Maybe Mike's break will bring back the phone calls for Deflategate and all this denial crap. They're crap in the bed, man. I mean, they should have just gone ahead and admitted to it. What we do have, though, and we have to admit to this, we're not going to deny this, is that we have Jim Rich.
Love that
He's
guy.
A very special man.
Yeah.
He's very special to us and this very show. He's made this show what it is. That is from 2:14 until about rather than 5:14 to 5:30. We have Jim Rich next. You wouldn't want to miss it. Again, he's our favorite. He's not. Let's go.
I'm not worried.
You guys miss me? I think he knows what we have here, and we were a good fit for him, and I think he was obviously a good fit for us. And usually these things take care of themselves, but ultimately he'll have the final say, and we'll do what we can within the parameters of the salary cap to keep him here.
Cool whip. I win. Fletcher on Dubnyk, and that's the way it goes. Save some money. Save all your pennies. Get a paper route and pay for Devin Dubnyk. We want him back. We want the giraffe back in front of the pipes.
Doobie doobie doo. Where are you?
Jim Rich, where are you?
James.
I'm right here, boys.
Hi, James.
Right here for you.
Yesterday we were talking about Deflategate. We were talking about that a little bit before you came on. And the phone's just absolutely on fire. It's funny because people call up and say, I just don't understand why the media is talking about this, it's about air in a football, yet the phones fire up and everybody wants to talk about it. So
Correct.
Interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, it is. People are very fired up about this.
I'm
they
telling you.
They want their balls properly inflated.
Apparently so. Apparently so. I just can't believe, like, if you had the station turned on right now and you heard Wells just a little while ago expounding upon all the different sides of this thing.
The obstruction by the Patriots and Brady.
Don Yee.
Yeah.
Whatever that name is.
Don Yee, the agent for Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if people heard that and didn't have any idea who that was, they would be saying, who's conducting the biggest investigation against the world? And then you'd have to inform them, really, it's just over the PSI in footballs in the AFC Championship game. If you really want to know what that's all about, that's a guy that's trying to figure out how there was less air in a football than there should have been.
But I think the police officer that called us that listens to our show this afternoon, every afternoon, who said, it's not necessarily the crime, it's the cover-up and the lying and the conspiracy and getting everybody else involved that gets people angry. I would imagine as a cop, if you were speeding and you got pulled over and they said, did you know you were speeding? You say, yeah, I was going 57 and 45 mile. I realize that instead of lying and, you know, doing all of the, I'm sure he sees it all the time. And that's what gets Ted Wells and Roger Goodell and all these people just furious. Especially, I mean, the Patriots aren't, it's not the first time that they've offended. It's
right.
Just ridiculous.
And obviously that's why they're getting slammed like they're getting slammed. Wells brought the report to Goodell and said, hey, they're stonewalling me. They gave me some stuff in the beginning, but now I can't get back to some key people that I want to talk to. Brady won't turn over his phone records. We told him we won't even touch your phone. We just want to look at it and get some sort of transcript off of it. Wouldn't do that. And so that's why I think they're really throwing the book at him and crushing him like this.
Well, it's funny because in this the audio that we just heard that we played for Ted Wells, Ted Wells said, listen, Don Yee, I'll let you go through Tom Brady's phone, or Tom Brady, you can go through your phone and just give us any information that has to do with these particular individuals that we've already interviewed. I don't need to look through your photographs of your naked babies taking a bath. I don't need to do anything, your private phone calls with your wife, or just get us that information. We won't even look at the phone. We won't touch the phone. We won't go for the records. You just give us what we think we need. And so they could have given them stuff that they needed that didn't implicate Tom Brady. I mean, it was absolutely in their hands, and they chose not to do it.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why I think they're going with the four games. Now, maybe if Brady cooperates and comes back and says, okay, let's try to get this down a couple games, or, you know, get it completely rescinded, if he steps up and tells them the whole truth and says everything, then maybe the NFL will back off, and maybe that's why they made this punishment this hard, so it gives them some leeway with it to cut it to two games, to cut it to one game, or just to make it a fine. I mean, they could maybe go that route. But it sounds like they've got a lot of people stonewalling them, including the Patriots. That's why they went after them for $1 million and took a couple draft choices.
I think it's a pretty serious deal when you come out and just deny it right off the bat. I think it's going to be awfully hard to reverse that now and to back up and hopefully take a couple games out of that suspension.
You don't think he can appeal and get it to two?
You know what? I think he's been a pain in the rear end. I think he's been a pain in the butt, and they're not going to let him have a second chance to rethink this. He had that chance already. I mean, if they asked him for dates off his phone when the other gentleman that they found text messaged the two employees there at Gillette Stadium, if he had just given them what they wanted right then and there. But, of course, Brady knew that everything was going to match up and sync out exactly right into those two guys, and that was going to be it.
Right.
The jig is up. But that's the way it went. He denied it. He wasn't going to cooperate. Four games, I'll tell you, you're not going to cooperate, then you're going to take a four-game suspension. The team gets a fine, two draft choices. And we'll call it a day if you're not going to cooperate.
Well, you know what? Then they should make that loud and clear that that's the reason he's gotten four games. Because say he appeals, say Kraft takes this to an outside arbitrator, takes it to a judge, and the NFL has no true smoking gun. Like, even in the report, it says, well, probably know somewhat something about this, so yeah, we're going after him. But if the league says, look, this is for not cooperating with the NFL investigation, that's why we're crushing you, then what judge is going to stand in the way of that? So I think if they get to that point and it gets to a legal a system outside of the NFL's jurisdiction, then they have to say, well, this is why we did it. We didn't do it because we really don't have them nailed on this pounds per square inch dilemma. But we do have the fact that he will not help us in any way try to find out the truth.
It's so interesting. Tom Brady's smart. He knew what he was doing. He every time he texted this Yastrzemski guy that worked for the Patriots, all he would say is, hey, bud, give me a call when you get a second. You doing okay? Call me when you get a second. If you get a second, give me a call. So there would be no record of whatsoever. I mean, no record of any text messages going back and forth, whether there were or weren't. But they talked for 12 minutes at a time, 6 minutes at a time, 3 minutes, 13 minutes again, after never talking on the phone prior at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Pretty cool. Calls to Tom Brady.
Hey, bud,
calls.
You doing okay? Come up to the quarterback room. Are you here?
Yeah, right.
I want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm sure that Tom Brady is easily accessible by anyone that works at Gillette Stadium.
And
I talk with Tom from time to time. Yeah, 10, 12 minutes, 14 minutes. Who in the world in that stadium do you think he actually spends any time calling and talking to?
All of these long conversations and text messages the day after and the next day, so January 19th and 20th, that Monday and Tuesday after the AFC Championship game. Why do you need to talk to a guy you've never talked to before in your life?
You gotta get the story
on the phone.
Straight.
Yeah, obviously.
Get the story straight.
Yep, here's how it's going to go down.
And how Belichick didn't know anything about this while this was all going on in his organization, or Robert Kraft or anybody else, is beyond me. I just find that hard to believe, too.
Yeah, there's probably calls from Brady to Kraft and Brady to Belichick.
I want the phone calls from Kraft to Goodell. That's what I want.
What do you think those would
say? Hey, listen, let's relax here. You know, I've been in your corner so many times, Roger.
Exactly. He's the one that saved him as the commissioner, basically.
Uh-huh.
So how long till Roger Goodell's out of here, then, without the backing of Robert Kraft? I mean, one more bad thing goes down, and I would imagine Robert Kraft would say, all right, Roger Goodell, here's payback. Paybacks are a bitch, aren't they?
Yeah, but all the rest of the owners are going like, yeah, give it to them.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Go, Roger.
Yeah, well, I want to know if Roger did take those kinds of phone calls, and Kraft was saying things like, let's just chill out and let's relax. I want to see if he got anywhere with Goodell. Was he able to pull back on the suspension he was originally going to put through? I would love to know that, too. Like, how much influence did he have with Goodell? And Goodell saying, hey, no, look, you know, this is a big, big deal, and I'm going to have to handle you guys exactly the same as I would handle anyone else. I don't know about that.
Yeah, but most sources and reporters that we were hearing, we were talking to Jim Rich about this a couple of days ago, that most people were suggesting 6 to 8 games. He got off pretty light with only 4 games. So maybe he did have some influence.
That's what I would love to know.
You know, though, in his response that came out last night, he said that even though we didn't do anything wrong, we were going to accept the NFL's punishment, but then he called it ridiculous or extreme as to the punishment they were given. So maybe he had some conversations with Roger. He goes, yeah, well, Roger goes, oh, I got to do something. I can't let you guys walk off. You know, let's just do some slap on the wrist and we'll move on. And Kraft probably goes, oh, all right, fine. We'll just accept whatever you send it. And then all of a sudden he comes out with this hammer job, and he's like, whoa, hey, wait a minute. This isn't what we talked about.
Or what if it's all a big show by Kraft, and just putting on a show and putting up a stink about whatever penalty did come down against the team or anything else, but it was really twice that much, and he got him backed off and back into a smaller place, and he just came out and put up a stink as any owner would, that he was just playing the part of an owner that felt like he'd been jilted.
It's all one big secret society, really, when you think about it. It's a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar-a-year secret society. And what I'm all for what happened to the Patriots and what's happening to Tom Brady, but I still have a hard time convicting a guy that when the Ted Wells comes out and concludes that Brady was probably generally aware of what was going on. The wording is how can you nail a guy for a crime that you can't even necessarily prove that he did?
More probable than not were the words. He was generally aware of most of the things that took place. Well, come on. I mean, that's why he's drawing so much fire. Wells threw out such a weak report.
So stupid.
Right, and that's why you'd think that nothing really was going to come of it. You know, that it would have been just a fine, you know, at most instead of this. But, you know, okay, so Kraft is, you know, flapping his gums, but the team now has changed their official logo on their Twitter page or Facebook to Brady's jersey.
Yeah.
So they have number 12, and support. We're standing behind them. I mean, that's like the Vikings, you know, with Adrian, and they put 28 on their website. And that's our guy, you know, and we've got his back no matter what.
Right.
Obviously, these stories are totally different, but still, this kind of flies in the face of the league a little bit.
Of course it does. Poor Tom Brady, such the martyr. This feels so terrible for him.
You know, what a fall guy. It was my receivers that wanted footballs to be deflated. They catch the ball easier. I can throw anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then. Yeah. Jim Rich, you are the best in the business. Thank you for joining the show today.
Oh, I appreciate the time. And hey, Isaac Fritzy is just walking into our place.
Oh, for Pete's sake, tell him we say
now.
Hi.
Hey now, the newest wide receiver with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, we're going to sit him down, get some comments on what he thinks, and you'll see it tonight later.
Perfect. We'll watch you for the rest of the night. As soon as I leave here, all I do is go home, and I sit myself on my couch, and I get some Cheetos and some Funyuns, and I watch Fox 9 for the rest of the evening until I go to bed.
And I'm the same. Only mine are pork rinds.
Perfect. All right, boys.
Tell him hi. Okay. That's it. And, you know, Isaac's a good kid. That'll be a good interview. Yeah. I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun. Jim Rich will have a lot of fun with him. We did. I know we did. Hardball with Mike Berardino is next. Hang on, Seamheads. He'll be right there.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
Some information in the head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him, you know, leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
High fly to center. Hitch goes back at the wall. And did he get it? He made the catch.
Oh, wow.
He took a home run away from Murphy. What a catch by Aaron Hicks. That's one of the finest catches you'll see a center fielder make.
I'm going to let the standing ovation applaud Aaron Hicks because that was a tremendous catch. Boy, he timed his leap perfectly. And actually, the glove over the fence.
You heard it, Aaron Hicks robbing Dale Murphy of a home run last May. Mike Berardino to tell us how great a moment that actually was when he robbed Dale Murphy of that home run.
Dale Murphy?
You like that? You like that one?
Yeah, I remember Dale Murphy robbing some home runs. Aaron Hicks is fully capable of doing everything that he has done in flashes in the past 2 years in the major leagues. He's still fully capable. He's still just 25. What will be interesting this time will be, can he get off to a fast start for once? And can he maintain it if he does? So, I think it's, there's some indicators that would say that he can, make the most of this chance because, he's a different manager this time. He has his boyhood hero playing right field next to him now and Torrey Hunter and, it'll just be interesting to see what he can achieve.
Absolutely. I think Twins Nation is, Twins Territory is obviously rooting for Aaron Hicks. We want to see him do well. Called up. He's, starting tonight in center field. Hitting eighth, we're talking to Mike Berardino. Twins Baseball brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Shane Robinson sent down in his place.
Well, he wasn't sent down. Not sent down. He's placed on an inactive list.
Personal readings?
Family medical emergency.
Okay.
I have some indication what's going on, but I've been told not to say anything yet, I won't say anything yet. But it's not, you know, I don't want to characterize it, but I do think we'll see Shane Robinson back on the active roster sooner than later.
So does that mean that Aaron Hicks is up here just for a short time, or what happens when Shane Robinson comes back?
Well, they're not necessarily linked. Those sorts of things, you know, they could certainly send someone different back. They could send a pitcher down if they wanted. They don't have to send Aaron Hicks in particular anywhere. It's entirely possible that he's here to stay for the next 15 years, or it could be 15 days. You just don't know, and you have Arcia coming off the DL at some point.
in the near future. You have Eddie Rosario not looking like he wants to go back down. And you have Jordan Schaefer, as you know, a lot. I think the betting line early on last night, when everyone was trying to figure out what the corresponding move was, the early line was Jordan Schaefer to the DL at some point, because he's got three different body parts barking at him and has had some level of pain for the last month, but he's going to continue to play with that. But again, obviously, Hicks is in there tonight.
Talking with Mike Berardino, it's Hardball. It's his time of the day. And what I have to ask is this. You're telling me he didn't rob Dale Murphy? I mean, that's all I got. No, I'm known for my great...
David Murphy, maybe?
David Murphy. I knew it was.
Yeah.
What do you think of the fact that there could be, or the chance there could be, of Buxton getting up here if this proves to be yet another Aaron Hicks
disaster?
I guess it was a shortcoming. And we've got his brother, I think, joining us later in the show
next,
today, because he's been tweeting away with us.
Well, he doesn't like what we've been saying about Aaron
Hicks.
Well,
he doesn't like anything about what we've our takes on Aaron Hicks. But
Joe.
Yes, yeah. Joe Jr.
Yep.
He's a good get. He's a good guy. You'd be nice to him.
I will be.
He's a good big brother, but and like any big brother, he's rooting for his kid brother.
He's defending his kid brother.
The thing that somehow gets lost, you know, what's fascinating about Aaron Hicks is the Twins knew at the moment they brought him up to be the opening day center field, they knew when they traded away Span and Revere that they were taking a risk.
Yeah.
Not just a risk with their 2013 and eventually 2014 seasons, but with this former first-rounder's career. And the fact that he's still in the organization is a small victory. The fact that he hit so well in the first 5 weeks at AAA this year is another small victory. And if he can maintain that, if he can just wipe away all the negative stuff and produce the way scouts have thought he would for years, that would be quite a story. So, yeah. You know, everybody likes redemption. People love those stories. Hollywood, it's got Hollywood written all over it. If he can do it now, the Buxton factor, whenever Buxton's truly ready, when the Twins deem that he's ready, it doesn't matter who is playing center field at that time and what they're doing, they'll get him up here, and then other people can move around. And Aaron Hicks has played all three spots down at AAA and is still center field quality, but there's nothing that says he can't play alongside Buxton. And you might see an outfield by the end of this year that has Buxton flanked by Hunter and Hicks. Mm-hmm. That would be a new age soul patrol.
Yeah, and I think in the future, too, I think the Twins would like to see Arcia, Buxton, and Hicks out there.
Wow. That'd be
maintaining
good.
The outfield. And then, you know, obviously, as the young players continue to progress and get called up to the big leagues, it's going to get even more interesting. But Aaron Hicks tonight, starting at center field, batting eighth. After being called up this morning, Mike Berardino, Hardball, talking Twins baseball at 5:30 every afternoon. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Up next, you heard it. Oh, what we're going to do here is we're going to try and get a hold of Joe Hicks, Jr. It's his older brother, Mike. Mike Berardino actually knows him. So we're going to try and get a hold of him and find out what the kid brother is up to, and if this kick step is what's making a difference for him from both sides of the plate, I guess. And we already know he's a hell of an athlete and a great fielder. So let's talk with his big brother. Let's just do that next.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
That new
button. You know, seventh inning stretch. We've got some more baseball to cover. I mean, we normally cover one segment a day with Mike Berardino, and that normally takes care of all of our baseball fanatics out there. But we did have some activity on Twitter. The name? Joseph Hicks. That's right. Joseph Hicks, Jr., the older brother of Aaron Hicks.
He tweeted us. He said he's done more than prove himself in Rochester. He will continue in the bigs. Hashtag Hicks. We're all excited, I think, around here to have Aaron Hicks back up here and do well. It's been frustrating the last couple of years to watch him struggle because, I mean, he's such an athletic freak.
Yes,
and
he
can run down any ball in the outfield he makes. I mean, I've played plenty of clips this afternoon of him making unbelievable grabs. It's just his problem at the plate. That is kept him from being up here for good with the Minnesota Twins.
Exactly. And anyway, we're going to bring Joseph into the mix right now. Joseph, are you there?
I'm here.
Listen, we've been told an awful lot of good things about you by Mike Berardino himself. Apparently, he's met you.
Yes, he has.
And
he's a good guy.
Is he?
Well,
is that right?
We don't know that for sure.
We don't know if that's quite the case or not. But we get a different kind of guy every day at about 5:30. Let's put it that way. But the kid brother, he's a fascinating athlete. Watching him in the outfield, has had the issue from time to time at the plate. We know that Rod Carew has tried to help him and trying to refine him and get him back to both sides of the plate. Tell us what he's done in his time down in Rochester with his kick step and everything else to improve his batting.
Well, he's pretty much changed it up, pretty much trying to make it more comfortable for him. Mm-hmm. A lot of patience, I think that comes into play with his new approach right now. He's hitting the ball hard right now. And, just basically went down there. He worked on some things, and he got his groove. It looks like he's got his groove. He's not looking fooled. So hopefully he brings that to the big leagues and just keep it going.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, we're talking to Joseph Hicks, the brother of Aaron Hicks. Mike Berardino, we just talked to him a second ago. He mentioned the fact that the Twins organization took a bit of a risk bringing him up so early when they ended up trading Denard Span and Ben Revere. And they kind of rushed him up here, and that may have kind of hurt his progress, obviously, in the big leagues. Such high hopes and a long line of amazing center fielders here in the Twins organization. Does he have any ill will towards the Twins organization, or is he just grateful that they keep him around after a couple of failed attempts at the bigs?
Oh, no, he's definitely grateful. He understands he needed to do more. The last few years, he knows his ups and downs, so it's nothing bitter at all with the Twins. He knows he had to work on some things and pretty much bring the bat to the game. So, I think with that, he definitely loves where he's at. So, he wants to prove to everybody that, he belongs, and basically to himself as well. We'll just see how that goes, and hopefully has a good night and the rest of the season.
It's got to definitely be frustrating with, like you mentioned, his ups and downs, and he's been, the opening day center fielder the last 2 years. He wasn't this year. Back and forth between the minor leagues and the major leagues. What is that like being the big brother of a guy who has such tremendous talent and has been such a high prospect in the Twins organization that is filled with such great prospects? How has that been for him and for you guys as a family to support each other?
Well, him being my brother, my expectations, I know what he can do. I know what he's capable of. When he goes down and he's having bad days, I'm having bad days. So, our talks, they vary depending on how his days go. I try to keep him lifted and positive, when things don't go right. But we have that great communication to where, he'll call me or I'll call him. And we just, pretty much just talk, just talk baseball, talk family, and, just break it down. And, he has my full support.
It sounds like it.
Good or bad. Good or bad.
How much older are you, Joseph, than Aaron?
I'm 15 years older than Aaron.
Okay. Mike Berardino also mentioned that his childhood idol in baseball coming up through the ranks was Torrey Hunter. That would make a more motivational, inspiring thing for him to come back and play in between him and to get some coaching from Torrey, sure.
With Torrey being there, when I found out Torrey was there, I think that was the best thing for Aaron to be around. Somebody who's seasoned, somebody who's been up and down, with the Twins, just as well as Aaron was going through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So someone that can, that can relate to what he's going through and basically talk to him. And plus, that's his idol. So I think with Torrey being there is that's the big plus out of all this.
Yeah.
And you know him. Like any brother would know another younger or older brother that is still your brother, and you know him inside and out, more so than anyone else could possibly know in the entire world. Let me ask you this question. He got caught, it was in spring training, Not knowing the situation at I think it was second base.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having one of those glitches. And God knows I've had plenty of those. You know, being a long snapper in professional football, you just freeze up sometimes. What do you know him as well as anyone? What is that? Does he have a glitch in there or a vapor lock from time to time? Because he's an incredible athlete, but why something like that from Aaron Hicks?
Are you speaking about the outs, not knowing?
Exactly. The situation in the game, yes.
Okay. You know, I spoke to him about that. He went off the scoreboard, what he said, but bottom line, I told him is you're in the game, you should know the situation.
You have to know it. So you just have to know it.
Yeah, there's really nothing else more to say on that.
Okay,
you got to know the situation.
I mean, I've seen some people actually come off the field when it's not fourth down. It was second down. Now it's third down. Guess what? We're still out here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Paul Molitor is a stickler for the little things and making sure that you have the little things right, whether it be base running, fielding, and knowing the count, all that stuff. And so that's why things have changed just a little bit. What has Aaron Hicks told you? Your brother, we're talking to Joseph Hicks. What has your brother told you about the change from Ron Gardenhire to Paul Molitor?
Well, the one thing he said is, he speaks highly on both. He said Molitor is kind of more of a player's coach. Said he's pretty much a good guy. You know, he's looking forward to playing for him. That's pretty much all he spoke on that. I met Gardenhire also the last 2 years, and he's a good, great coach. Also,
yeah, no question.
Yeah, nothing bad to say about either. You know, so all good talks on both.
That's fantastic, and you're a great guest, by the way, Joseph Hicks Jr., the older brother of Aaron Hicks. You got to promise to come on the show with us more often, and come on after Mike Berardino, and we can do some follow up baseball with an insider like you, and that would be fun.
Sounds good.
You betcha.
Thank you
for calling. Thank you for your tweeting, and you know what? We'll stay in touch. Okay.
We sure will. Go Twins.
Go Twins. Sir. Go Twins. Absolutely.
All righty.
Thank you, sir. The older brother.
I love that guy.
Aaron Hicks. He's a great guest.
Yeah, I love him.
That's some inside. That's a good.
I want to be best friends with all of them.
I mean, that's how we do things around here. We just dig in deep and, hell, if he had something to say to us on Twitter, then let's go get him. Hey, come on the show. Why not, right?
Amen, brother.
And he was as good as he could possibly be about the entire thing. Ask him any question he told us. And, spoken like a true brother. We're going to go into Tom Schreier now. And we love this guy, too.
Yes.
He's like a big brother now to us. Oh, wait, I'm a big brother to him in many ways.
Because he brings food.
And he brings food, and that's why. I mean, he's Cold Omaha, one of the writers here at 105 The Ticket, and he does a great job. And we're going to be talking about the Wild and how we can improve this team somehow, some way, to get past the second round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But he wrote a great article at 105 The Ticket in Cold Omaha. Just go right on, click on it, and check him out and read that. He's good at what he does. And you know what? We're going to talk to him. And any hamburgers today? Doesn't look like
No
but Tom Schreier, good guy. He's coming on with us, Radioactive Sports.